Discord here live on the Podzilla 1985 Network. This is Podzilla 1995 After Dark. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight, looking like the best John Travolta. Also, if you haven't heard, close the goddamn door. With me tonight, we've got the co-owner of Podzilla 1985, Mr. Jesse Kimball.
Hey, that's me.
We've got not pictured Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
Shelby Chan.
I'm sorry, I'm highly irritated.
And of course, the master of horses himself, the Kaz Man, here with us tonight.
Hola.
So, no, it's not horse time. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow's horse time.
For me, in my mind, it always
and,
is.
Yeah. And tomorrow, a special edition of horse time, because tomorrow we've got an episode dedicated almost entirely to the X-Files.
Ooh, that makes me so excited.
That's going to be I'm excited for it. That's going to be a good time. But tonight's a different show, and I'm going to check my time real quick so I know when we're going over here. Tonight is After Dark, and it's I'm glad Kaz is drinking. Maybe I should go get myself another Irish margarita, because I should probably need to do a little drinking too. It's going to be a heavy show tonight. It's going to be a serious show. Well, now that Kaz is here, I don't know how serious it's going to be. Kaz will ruin any attempts that I have to be serious. Although I've done that myself. If you're live here with us at facebook.com/podzilla1985, because I look like the member from Bowling for Soup that you didn't like. That's.
I don't remember any of the members of Bowling for Soup, I'll be honest.
I don't either.
I barely remember Bowling for Soup.
Yeah, they had like two songs.
I remember more about Bowling for Columbine.
Wait, they had more than two songs.
Did they?
Well, they had one song named 1985.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That is one of
Girls All the Bad Guys Want.
I'll give you that's the second one.
And Alexa Bliss.
What?
They have a song called Alexa Bliss, about Alexa Bliss. Is it a good song? It is absolutely not. But you told me to name three, and I did. Therefore, I win.
Is the name of the song Alexa Bliss?
It's literally called Alexa Bliss. Yeah.
I'm fact-checking you here.
Do the Googles. Do the Googles.
Son of a bitch.
Get him.
All right. No, he's right.
Oh. He's right.
And I know there's another. There's got to be another Bowling for Soup song.
Wait, would you call this Bowling for what?
Bowling for, yeah, there's 1985, Girls All the Bad Guys Want. And I know there's another super popular song, and I just can't think of what the other one was. There's at least one more, like, really popular song. I sort of remember that one.
That's the one, that's the one that I was thinking of that I couldn't think of whenever we were talking about it. And then, oh God, Stacy's Mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I was
I know that one.
Baseball Never Ends.
Wait,
yeah, Stacy's Mom and 1985 are the two that I always think of.
Wait, hold on. They did Stacy's Mom?
I didn't
realize. I thought that was from
I thought that was a different group.
I'm pretty sure that's a different group, yeah.
Stacy's Mom is Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah.
But it's definitely listed on their Spotify.
It is, actually, yes.
Did they do a cover or something?
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep in mind also, though, on Spotify, you'll just bring up people's playlists that they have made.
I'm on the Bowling for Soup page, and yeah, Stacy's Mom is like their fourth most popular. It must be a cover.
It's got to be a cover, yeah.
So, yeah, no, like, yeah, the High School Never Ends.
Cass, can you bring up
the back?
Bring up that picture of Bowling for Soup one more time, please.
Bowling for Soup? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So see the guy in the Texas shirt? Right behind him where that guy's arm is, I'm back there. You can't see me. But I'm back there.
Oh, really?
I bent down to tie my shoe and they were like, "We're taking the picture." And I was like, "Well, hold on." And then I didn't get in there.
And they were like, "Oh, it's better this way anyway."
Yeah. They were like, "We don't need you piece of shit." So thanks a lot, Cass. Aww. Made me feel depressed here.
You're the one that looks like you just binge drink.
I did. Jesse didn't believe me. I sent Jesse a picture of it, and he was like, that's a tasty looking lemonade. Then I had to send him a picture of the advertisement for the drink just so it proved that I wasn't lying. I'm like, I'm not proud of drinking. I just didn't want him to think I was a liar.
He sent me a picture of what looked like a lemonade and no other context.
The funny part is as he took the picture and sent it to you guys, I said, they're going to say, you drinking lemonade?
She did.
Because it was a yellow beverage with a lemon wedge in it.
And it a was. Lime.
I didn't see the lime. I just saw the lemon wedge.
You put the lime with coconut.
I just realized my hashtag has other implications.
I thought that was the intention.
Well, jokes are running all night, folks. All even right. Unintentionally.
Michaela.
Has something to say, or was there something else?
Rogue hashtag with nothing. Oh, there it
is. They did not do Stacy's mom.
But Stacy's mom still has it going on.
All right. So Michaela said, I look like an airline captain and the tie's coming off. So
I do not want to be on that flight.
I forget that.
We've watched you play Flight Simulator.
Shelby's sister's name is Stacy, one of her sisters. So Stacy's mom just has a new connotation for me.
Every time I hear it, I'm like, please stop. Please no.
That also happens to be Shelby's mom.
No. That's a strange indirect situation. Right.
I don't like that anymore.
Yeah. Now I just look like I'm in the club, kind of.
Well, you got it going on.
I got something going on tonight, boy. I look like Tanner Fields, I'm sure. Anyway.
Yakuza pro tag.
Oh, shit. Jonathan Atwood. Johnny Atwood.
Atwood.
Oh,
I think he just came in with the fire.
You know, Shannon, makes you feel better. I got sock hat hair going on with mask beard.
Well, at least you're not a cum puppet.
Hey, you're safe. Oh, Call of Duty reference.
Yeah, we don't like the cum puppets around here. Anyway, so let's...
hanging out with Toby Weef? Girth Brooks.
Girthquake. Let's start off with the motherfucker of the week. How about that? Okay. That's great. That makes you the worst person in the world. So I'm kind of torn on this one. I've got two nominees. The first,
I have a nominee.
Well, let's get Lindsay's out of the way first since we can't see it.
Because mine is just me being bitter that whoever runs the Pokemon Company's website needs to take stuff off that isn't available. Because literally 2/3 of everything I clicked on yesterday was out of stock. Out of stock. Sold out. Out of stock. Fuck you.
Yeah, I hate it when there's websites that you can't filter out of stock.
Right.
Oh, you mean like trying to buy a PS5 and it says in stock, but yet out of stock? It's Schrodinger's PlayStation. Well, I was trying to get one for the customer at the store today. I spent 2 hours, Ethan and I both, trying to buy it, and it sold out. So what they did is Walmart put them in increments of every 10 minutes, they release more. And every 10 minutes, they sold out within 5 seconds.
Damn.
Ridiculous. Hello, Maria. Hello again, Johnny Atwood. Johnny Atwood. Mm. Anyway.
I would have let it go with just the cards being out of stock because that's other jerkwad's faults. But when I started looking through my plushies and they finally put out a Frostmoth plush and they're all sold out. I have money and I can't get my Snowbug.
Print the product so we can buy the product. Print the product so we can buy the product. Anyways.
That's why you need them NFTs.
So my first nominee for Motherfucker of the Week is Mama June. Mama June from... why?
Last week we were talking about it. It's apparently an impression I did sounded like Mama June, wasn't it? Or is this somebody different?
Well, if you want to be the old Mama June, eat about 30, 40 more buckets of chicken. Never mind. Kaz has put up a picture that has bothered me. So here's why I say Mama June. She did an interview where she admitted to, never mind, Jonathan Atwood's the motherfucker of the week. Apparently he has a PS5. No, Johnny, I wouldn't do that to you. Anyway, so she did it. She did an interview. Apparently she sobered up now, her and her boyfriend, and they were talking about how they spent in the last year of close to $1 million on drugs. Yep. $2,500 a day they spent on methamphetamines and other drugs.
They look like it.
least.
Now, that's not why they're the motherfucker of the week, by the way. It's not because they did drugs. That's not why. In fact, I'm happy for them if they're really turning it around. My problem is that, you know why they're talking about all this now? They're doing interviews? Because they have another fucking show coming out about their getting clean. And that just, it upsets me.
America awards, rewards bullshit.
I don't understand. It's one of two things. It's one that these people are exploiting themselves and their own family for attention. And it's also that these companies are exploiting people for profit. It's disgusting and I hate it. It's one thing to get yourself clean. What's that?
The kids love squalor.
They do, but it's one thing to get yourself clean and to change your life around. Good on you. But if you're doing it and you're documenting it to make money on whatever fuck, I think it's WE or CW or UPN. I don't know what fucking channel it is, but god damn, does it irritate me. But it irritates me. Does it make a motherfucker of the week? I don't think so. It just irritates me. Here's the motherfucker of the week. This motherfucker. It's almost too serious to where I didn't want to make a motherfucker of the week, but I thought, I'm going to go for it. So you have probably heard, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, the shooting in Atlanta that left 8 people dead. 6 Asian women. What's that?
Wasn't it multiple locations? Like, he went to several different places?
Like, 3 different locations. He shot multiple people. It was a horrible attack, horrible racist attack. And he is not the motherfucker of the week, obviously. I would never put someone that takes another life as motherfucker of the week, because that's too much, right? No, instead, connected to this story is the spokesman, the sheriff's spokesman, whose name is Jay Baker, who during a press conference talked about the person that did these killings and said he was pretty much fed up and at the end of his rope. Yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did. My favorite comment was someone that said, sadly, the victims couldn't be reached to tell how bad their day was because they're dead.
Ouch.
This motherfucker, like, and it gets worse. It gets worse because you might say, okay, slip of the tongue. Maybe he just said something insensitive. You didn't really realize it, but you kept to keep it in mind that this guy just went up there talking about a man that just killed 8 people in what was clearly a racially motivated attack against Asian Americans and said that he had a bad day. And this is what he did.
Not racially motivated because it wasn't just Asian people.
He killed a white person, and I think he killed 2 white people and injured a Hispanic guy. He said he has a sex addiction, and he was shooting these spas and massage parlors to take away the temptation because he was tempted to go get a massage, I guess. But if you don't think it's
something about this, like, these are massage parlors that refuse to give him a happy ending.
This, like, piece of shit further escalates the bullshit I don't see color cops bullshit. Cops were originally fucking created on racist bounds and continue to fucking thrive under racist parameters.
Well, Kaz, you will also be happy to know then that this same cop, Jay Baker, who said that he was having a bad day and kind of tried to take away the impact of what happened to the victims, about a year ago or so, he posted a picture on his Facebook of a t-shirt. It's making fun of the Corona drink, and it says coronavirus imported from China. And he said,
of course he fucking did.
Order your t-shirts today. So this motherfucker, who is, whether he is a racist himself or he's just escalating the racism that Asian Americans have had against them, especially in the wake of the coronavirus, and fucking people like Donald Trump going on TV calling it the China virus over and over again. And he said it has no effect on people. Well, you fucking tell me. This motherfucker, the good news is that he's no longer a spokesman for this sheriff's office. I don't know if he's been fired, if he's been reassigned, or what.
Of course he's not, because now PR takes over. That's the only fucking reason. He's been this piece of shit all of this time, but yet whenever the public gets wind of it, oh, now they got to save face. Fuck this fucking bastard.
Agreed.
This is one of the few times where I'm just like, doxing? You know what? Public fucking scrutiny.
I don't think there's going to be punishment good enough for this guy, honestly.
There never is. Look at him.
People talking about how, like, that kind of talk doesn't really have an impact on other people. I want to say was it the boys, Kaz and Shelby, that had like the after the powered people were outed for like, you know, what they were or whatever, like possibly dangerous. They kept talking about like how dangerous they were, and this guy that's been a gas station regular forever goes in there, and this dude that listens to all these podcasts and everything.
That was season two.
People.
Yep.
Yeah, like this guy that's been a long time regular at this gas station goes into this gas station. They find out that he has superpowers and shit, and this convenience store worker just like blows his ass away.
Yep.
Because it's like, no, yeah, all of my most trusted sources talk about how dangerous they are, and it's like, yeah, no, this is what happens.
That was a hell of an episode. That show is actually one hell of a mirror
turned
around in this fucking country. Because
other Jonathan.
Sorry, what?
Oh, I was just saying hey to another Jonathan that joined the chat. Okay. Hello.
But no, that's a very fair point, because that whole like first 15 minutes of that episode really focuses on how words and rhetoric and simple-minded like mush brains fucking pull that shit in. And then turn around and turn that shit into violence that will kill people simply because of the way that they look, because of people like Trump and this Marge Green fucking piece of shit and all of these fucking people like this that think that they can be all stars and ride and exploit this fucking train of opportunism and ride this train of hate that the political side has. And what it does is it turns into shit that happened yesterday, that happened in fucking Orlando a few years back, that happened up in the Northeast years ago.
That happened.
This fucking shit constantly happens.
That happened January 6th when they marched on the Capitol, when words have power.
And fast forward 3 months later and it's like, oh, well, some of them were good people because of the fucking bastard we just pulled out of office.
Agreed. But hey,
and like a lot of people may have otherwise been good people, but you know, when the leader of the free world tells them like these people are evil and need to be put down, then yeah, they take that shit immediately to heart. Like,
they are not good people. None of them are good people.
And if
many people will fucking condemn me for this, but if like I see this shit when it comes to the whole fucking religion side of things, if your moral compass is based on the results of your actions and the fear of what's to come, then you're not a good person.
I get what he's saying there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get what you're saying too. Like, I just think like these are people that otherwise would have been good people.
Well, it's tribalism. It's tribalism, and it's
people up to the point where they get the opportunity to be bad people and show who they truly are.
Well, there's
if you look at like that episode of The Boys, like it kind of showcased like that guy wasn't a bad guy. He was terrified for his life because of that awful, shitty hate speech.
Yeah, and I mean you're right. When the president is telling you, and it's not just President Trump. Let's be honest again. President Trump,
not the only one. No,
he was not the cause. He was not the virus. He was just a symptom of it. There have been plenty of people before him that have preached the same kind of hate. The difference was that before it almost felt like there was a different kind of a barrier. There were people that pushed against it from their own party that would say, this is too much. This is ridiculous. They didn't defend it. With Trump, for whatever reason, no matter what Trump said or did, the worst he got was he probably shouldn't have said it, but he was kidding around. He didn't mean it the way he said it, but that's how people hear it. That is how people hear it when you say it over and over again.
They can't control.
Right, and he's still in control.
And now they can't back away from it.
Yeah, and you know, like, fucking Trump, by the way, not to get too off topic for just a second about these terrible things, but you want to talk about how bad Trump has them by the balls. Trump actually sent them a letter, the Republican National Committee, saying, do not use my likeness. You cannot use my likeness to help promote your organization. And what did they do in response? They thanked Trump for everything that he's done, and they kissed his ass more. Like, you fucking cowards. Grow a fucking backbone.
But they can't. That's the key. That's the problem. It's not even we can throw a lot of blame at the Republican Party and the whole ideological fucking foundation that perpetuates it. But that's not the actual. That's again another symptom. What they've done is they've created a monster that they can't fucking control. What the truism is half of this population in this country are garbage human beings. Like the whole basket of deplorables. No. That was more fucking true than they intended it to be.
To be fair, I think pretty much most human beings are garbage in their own way. True. All of us are garbage. In fact,
But many of these politicians know that if they turn on him, they will lose their seat.
Right. The only reason Trump gets away with what he gets away with is because he was so successful. Trump is the one that, I mean, he was the Trojan horse. He got all these Republicans in. And despite the fact now that Trump not only lost the presidency, he lost Georgia, he lost the House, he lost the Senate, they still cling to him because they still think he's their best chance of winning. And he might be. That's the sad part, because
in
people,
many of these people's places, they can't win again if they don't acknowledge it and don't adopt it.
Right.
Because a lot of Republicans just really, really, really liked that guy.
Well, Marjorie Greene is in the she's in one of the most red fucking areas that exists in this country. She only won because the person that ran against her was the victim of a horrendous campaign that destroyed his family. He got divorced, had to actually move out of the house and move in with his parents in a different county, and no longer could run. So she ran unopposed and won.
But we can't spend all night talking about Trump, because this was even technically about Trump to begin with. You want to talk about more deplorable people and how terrible things are. I want to bring up a story real quick that I don't know if you guys have read about or heard about, because I don't pay attention. Actually, I've got two YouTube/social media celebrity stories on the show tonight. Normally I don't talk about these things, but both of these things were very upsetting and I wanted to mention it. Do you guys, have you heard the story of Bianca Devins?
No,
I have not.
Kaz, bring up a picture of Bianca Devins if you can, please. That's her. Bianca Devins was a 17-year-old social media star. She was gaining influence on, I think, maybe TikTok, YouTube. She was getting there. Well, she met someone, Brandon Clark, 22 years old. They became friends and went to a concert. And this story is going somewhere terrible. Went to a concert and he, I guess, was in love with her, or at least had a crush on her. And he saw her kiss a guy at the concert. On the way back from the concert, when they're driving back, he literally slits her throat in the car. Slits her throat [S2] Wow. [S1] And kills her. Not only does he slit her throat and kill her, and it gets worse. He slits her throat and kills her. 17-year-old girl right there. Well, he then takes pictures of himself with her corpse and video and posts it on the internet with, I'm sorry, Bianca, and stuff like that. It gets worse. Yeah. It gets worse. The worst part about it to me, I mean, this bad as it is, obviously, this 17-year-old that was killed for this fucking guy. The good news is that he was sentenced to 25 years yesterday to life. So he is in jail. The bad thing is, this is the part I wanted to talk about on the show, because that, I mean, that's terrible. It has the ending, I guess, it needs. But what really upsets me is that the family of this girl has now had to completely get off the internet because people keep sending them pictures and video of their dead daughter. They changed their profile pictures to pictures of their daughter. So when they send them messages or they send them friend requests, they have to look at their dead daughter over and over again. And this, it upsets me so much, because like, I love the internet. I love the internet because it gives me a chance to talk to the people that are in the chat room now. It gives us a chance to do all this stuff. But like, the fact that the internet is so fucking cowardly that people can do this over and over again and get away with it, that they can send this family pictures of their dead daughter and make them relive that over and over again. Like, one, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Why are they doing it?
To torment them.
Shitty human being. Shitty human being. It's the same thing that happened up in the Northeast after those kids got killed. And your Steve or whoever that stupid fucking podcasty dude is that came out saying that it wasn't real, it was their actors and shit like that.
That has
political
reason, shitty reason. But yeah, it's a situation where like they're like, oh yeah, no, these kids didn't actually die. Like everything was acted. Like not, all this is. All this is liberal propaganda to take our guns away. But so like that, I understand it's shitty and they're awful, awful human beings, but I understand it. This doesn't make any sense. Like why?
Because they're trolling.
It's a continuation of that. With anything, it perpetuates forward into the point where it's like a crucible. Like as you move forward, those reasons, like you said, at one point in time, they had a platform and a reason to be shitty. But as time moved on, the Crucible happened, and the reasons became irrelevant. And then they found emboldened and empowered to continue being shitty for no reason at all because they're shitty. So now the new reason is they're just trolling to troll.
They're trolling. They think it's funny. It's a meme to them.
Yeah, they think it's fucking hilarious.
This dead 17-year-old girl is a meme to them, and this family that has to relive this over and over again because people on the internet are fucking cowards. They're
look
fucking
at
the
YouTube
cowards.
Comment section.
Look at any comment section.
I mean YouTube because of anonymity.
Well, any comment section, you know, fucking Reddit has true. Anonymity. Fucking Blizzard, Battle.net, at one point were going to change it to where you had to have your actual name displayed as your user account, and people rebelled against it so hard, some for good reasons, but I'm sure a lot because they didn't want people to know who they actually were when they're fucking trolling and shit talking and tormenting people online. The family is they're trying they're trying to do something good about this. They've introduced something called Bianca's Law, which is supposed to try to help regulate and stop online tormenting and bullying. And it's shit like this that when I see people that I like, I genuinely like posting stuff about how today's people were too PC and like my generation we didn't get hurt and oh my god get stronger, like it's okay to say that when someone's calling you fat online or something like that, but what about when someone's sending you pictures of their dead daughter? Like, where do you fucking stand on that? Is that outrage you, or is that not enough? Is it still a matter of like toughen up? Because if someone did that to me, and it's like Jay and Silent Bob. You've seen the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. If I had the money,
they found out the location of every single like right. motherfucker that flamed them on that forum.
I would go fucking throat punch every single person that I could. That is why whenever I make a statement online and I criticize somebody or I say some shit, my name is Shannon Young. You know where I'm at. You know who I am. Mm-hmm. You can come fucking talk to me because I'm not gonna hide behind the anonymity of the internet. Fuck you if you do. Because like. The people that do this, they're fucking psychopaths. And like, I wish nothing but bad things on these people. Like, it's disgusting. I don't understand why you would do that to another fucking human being.
What the internet in the current age has done is it has shown that there is a lot more sociopaths in the world than we ever gave credit for.
Well, because they can do it and get away with it so easily. Like,
exactly.
You can't go out and murder a woman.
Repercussions. There's no accountability
right.
anymore
on this. I can't go out and like murder a woman in the street and get the jollies from it and get away with it so easily, but I can take pictures of this daughter and send it to her family and fucking laugh about it because they had to look at it again. Fuck you. Goddamn. There's no punishment enough for fucking people like that. Like they should be fucking shot in the street.
They should apply that law in the same way that they do child pornography. If
yes.
any of that information yes. is found on their IP or their records on their computer that type of thing has happened, then it should be treated the same way.
That is one argument that I have made that I've tried to articulate my point because just saying it out loud sounds bad. But my point was always like, if you have child porn, it doesn't necessarily make you a child rapist. You've never raped a child. You have the pictures for it, but it's illegal. But why is it not illegal? Why is it okay to have pictures of this dead girl and send it to her family? You're not a murderer. You didn't kill her. It's the same thing. Well, the child is a victim in it. So is this fucking 17-year-old girl who got murdered and had her picture sent to her family. Why is it okay for one thing and not the other? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe in censorship.
I will disagree that they're the same because it's two very different things.
No, they're not the same as in like, I don't know. Again, this is why I said I can't articulate my point as I want to. It's just
death porn.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Like, how is she not a victim the same way that a girl who gets raped and taken pictures of sent out? How is she not any less of a victim?
Like I said, I agree with you, sort of. Like, I just don't... I don't like the... I feel like it's still a false equivalency. Like, I'm not trying to defend either both or shit.
I know you're not. I know you're not. And I don't want anyone to think that you're defending it. I don't want them to think that. I get what you're saying. Because I know what you mean. This is why I say I have a hard time articulating it. Yeah. It's just disgusting.
It's a tricky thing because these are... Yes, these are both serious events, but it's hard to talk about them in the same vein.
Because there's also like it's a difference of intent, and like there's just a lot of difference. And it's like I do agree that people that sin, the people that that did this sent the pictures of the dead girl to her parents. That's fucked up, and those people deserve serious punishment. 100%.
It's harassment, it's bullying of the worst kind, and they should absolutely be found and prosecuted, just like the Capitol rioters. These
circumstances can result in suicide, can result in extreme results.
Yeah, because, yeah. All right, so this girl's family, they have to get off the internet. Why? What was their crime? Their crime was their daughter was murdered. Their daughter was a popular social media star. And because she was a popular social media star, she is therefore more open to trolling. And now her family has to suffer that. Not only suffer the loss of their 17-year-old daughter. Fuck out of here. And
I don't hate that fucking argument. I was like, well, if you don't like it, get off the internet. It's the same shit with, like, you know, we hear you talk about, like, you know, kids these days grow up, like, you know, weak and stuff like that. Like, they get offended and upset too easily because of, like, bullying and shit like that. It's something, like, I've actually had this conversation with my mom because she just didn't fucking get it. Because kids will get bullied via Facebook and Instagram now. Like, yeah. I remember when all of us were kids, you know, like, I got bullied in school until I became larger than everybody else. And they're like, ah, we ain't gonna bully him no more. But, like, up to that point, I still got bullied. But the point was, when I got home, you know, I got off the school bus and I was free and clear of it. I didn't have to deal with it. I was with my family.
Right.
Like, I was, you know, I was in a safe space.
Yeah.
Now with internet existing, with Facebook and Instagram and
Twitter, there is no safe space anymore.
Exactly.
And for like, you don't have these kids out of their phones too. Like, yeah, it's just constant.
They deal.
You don't have catharsis anymore.
Yeah, and they've got to deal with it there too. Like, they're constantly getting hit, and like, and in worse ways. Like, it's one thing to have, like, you know, somebody spread a bad rumor about you or some shit like that, like, shit gets around. It's another thing to have, like, you know, an out of context picture or fuck nudes. Like, dude, somehow they got a nude of you, and that just hit the fucking internet. Like, that,
and it ruins your life and professionally and socially.
Like, it's real bad. Like, this shit is fucked up, and like, so I hate these motherfuckers that I. And then everybody's argument is like, well, just don't be on the internet. Don't do any of this stuff. It's like, how
you can't.
That's not possible anymore. Right. Everything is so intertwined. It's permanent.
And you shouldn't have to. That's like telling a girl. Yeah. That's like telling a girl to put a sweater on at school because her shoulder is bothering the boys. Like, that. You shouldn't have to change your life because someone else is, you know, going to take it to the extreme or do something terrible about it. Like, it's not your fucking responsibility of how other people act and feel.
Yeah, it's like, if you take away the internet and you think about the South and, like, the, you know, early 20th century, like, if you're a black family and somebody burns a cross in your yard, do you just have to move?
Move. Yeah.
Is that the fucking result?
Yeah. Just get out of it. And
that's what they're trying to get you to do.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some racist motherfucker is, like, threatening to kill your entire family. So maybe the option is
maybe. Maybe you should leave. Also, Johnny in the chat said, let me tell you, it's worse if you're queer. Trust me. Amen. I don't know, but I can fucking sympathize.
Especially, you know, like, he's our age. Like, that was, he grew up in the era where, like, in the early 2000s, it was cool and socially acceptable. It was in everybody's vocabulary. Like,
that's gay. That's gay.
You know, everybody calling each other fags and all this other stuff, and like
it was okay back then. No, it was never okay.
Part of the vernacular.
It was socially accepted.
And like,
the R word, all of that. Yeah,
we got to move on from the story. Unfortunately, we can't. We can dedicate a whole show to it, but I just want to say one last thing. And I know in my heart of hearts that nobody that does shit like that is watching our show. I know that our listeners do not do that kind of shit, but. I do want to say this. If you do, or if you know someone that does and you want to show this to them, just from me personally, when you do shit like that, when you torment people online, when you bully them, when you do things like this, I hope you realize that you are a fucking coward and a worthless piece of shit. You are the worst of the worst fucking scum. It's not funny. You're never going to be famous for it. You are literally just being an asshole to be an asshole. And if you're local, if you don't like what I'm saying, I work at Gaming Grounds at Cape Girardeau. Please come talk to me face to face. I would love to have a conversation with you. That's not me trying to act tough. That's me just saying you're a piece of shit. And I'm fucking tired of people hiding behind the internet to act tough. Well, I'm not acting.
The reality of it is time has an interesting way of bringing some shit full circle. Especially as technology advances. What we think today is anonymous isn't always anonymous forever.
Jesse, what are you saying?
I was going to say this comment. Yeah, he heard it every time he played Halo. And ain't that the truth? I got called a fag so many times while playing Halo and then was told they were fucking my mom. that was the super common shit back then.
We have a game that we play, like when we play Call of Duty, there's like a ongoing kind of game that we play within is like, okay, who's going to get reported on the next match?
Which name is going to get sent in? Because they're just like, I don't know, man, maybe they're just kids and they don't know any better because we all did stupid shit as kids. But Jesus fucking Christ, like at some point you have to grow up, and the sooner we realize this is just unacceptable. Like it's a whole different ballgame too. It's one thing to say I'm fucking your mom to someone as to troll them. It's another thing to send a family dead pictures of their dead daughter. Like there should be a line that human decency shouldn't cross. If you ever need proof that humanity is just a fucking sweltering hole of shit, I think this is a perfect example of it. But if you need more examples, let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about another internet celebrity, David Dobrik. I didn't even know who the fuck David Dobrik was before a week ago. And that's the thing with these internet celebrities and these YouTube celebrities that are so big and famous. I have no fucking idea who this fucking kid is. He looks like someone...
I know he's a fucking piece of shit, though.
He looks like someone that would say he fucked my mom during Halo. Like, that's what he looks like. But apparently, he's a huge YouTube personality... and the story with him, and we can't talk about it too much because it's still going on, but that he has a group apparently called the Vlog Squad or something like that, and there's a controversy recently about one member of the Vlog Squad being tricked into kissing a man that he thought was a girl, not consenting to it as a prank, and then putting the video up, and then them doing it to him multiple times, and now he's saying that it was sexual harassment. He's talked to therapists, and he brought this out to the attention. Well, it got worse, because now there's a girl who was 20 at the time who was invited by this Vlog Squad to a hotel with the explicit intent to have a quote-unquote fivesome, and there's video of this. Well, she didn't want to do it. She was uncomfortable the entire time, and apparently she was cornered in the bedroom by one of the Vlog Squad named Dirty Dom, because of course that's his name. And as the night progressed and he basically threatened her and wouldn't let her leave the room until she kissed him, got away. They were then provided numerous amounts of alcohol, despite the fact she was underage and not old enough to drink, to the point that she was so blackout drunk that he then took her into the bedroom with another girl and got his sex, to the point that she had fallen asleep or passed out during it. And the other girl, who sent a text to this girl the next morning saying, you were so drunk, you passed out. I finished him off just to get him off of you because he wouldn't stop.
And then
they made a video of it. They made a video of them getting in the car afterwards and bragging about it and talking about how they're probably going to go to jail for what they just did, laughing. And this motherfucker, well, he didn't, believe it or not, and he probably won't. Nothing's going to happen to him. Because, oh my God.
He's raping a girl.
No. They never said they raped her, and they don't have video of it. All they have is them saying, we're probably going to go to jail for what we did, implying that what they did was so crazy and raucous that they're probably going to get in trouble for it. So, fucking hell. People like David Dobrik, the Paul brothers, all these little pieces of shit, YouTube celebrity fucks who contribute nothing real to society. And they play off these young girls and boys who want to be like them, and they exploit them, and then they rape them too. And like, it's fucking sickening. Part of the reason I don't want to do YouTube and I don't want to do Twitch or anything like that, and I don't think it'll ever happen because I'm not this, but I never wanted to be a YouTube celebrity. I hate the concept of it. I want to talk to people.
Influencer shit.
I hate the influencer shit. I don't want to be that. I think but it's one thing to be an influencer and just go stay at places for free because you're pretty. Like, cool. It takes a lot of work to be beautiful and stay in shape. It really does. It's another thing to exploit people and rape them. Fuck David Dobrik. Fuck the Paul brothers. And goddamn, if there's any Jesus Christ in heaven or God in heaven, there's going to be some kind of fucking punishment to these people. Fucking hell. Ah. Check out the latest Philip DeFranco if you'd like more on the story, because that's where I learned of this particular part. It's sickening. It's absolutely disgusting. Let's move on real quick. We got fun stuff coming up, kids. I promise. We got some great toy commercials coming up here in a few seconds.
Start with the heavy hitting shit first, huh?
Well, that's how the Thursday show goes. We hit you with the all the heavy and the anger and the rage, and then we hit you with the top five list that's delightful with conversation about it.
Coincidentally, I'm honestly thinking of creating a new show on the network for Saturdays where I can do just this. Because I get this turns some people off. Not everyone wants to come on and hear real news or like real. And I don't even get to go into depth like I want to because we have so many stories. We have to push it along to get to the fun stuff. And I would love to talk about the stuff more and get into more depth with it. But next story, BTS. I know Dalton and Sadie are big fans of BTS. A lot of controversy this week because the Garbage Pail Kids put out a card, I guess, of BTS where they're like in the whack-a-mole thing and their heads are popping out of it and they have a Grammy as the mallet. And I get exactly.
Part of like their chamois line.
Yes.
They do that like for everybody that wins like a Grammy because you know the running thing is that the Grammys are rigged.
Yeah, because BTS got shut out. Despite the fact that BTS is like the most popular music group in the world, they got shut out. It's ridiculous. I don't even like BTS. I've never listened to them. I probably won't. That's not my cup of tea. But I know
it's not my thing, but I know that it's a lot of people's thing.
Right. That's like people in wrestling now.
100 million in like the first day the thing went up.
The people in wrestling now are like
there ain't no damn artists that get that kind of platinum shit in a months of work.
Who is Bad Bunny is what I hear a lot as a wrestling fan. And everyone says no one cares about Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is one of the highest selling musicians right now. Just because you don't know who they are doesn't mean they're not popular. And that's how I feel about BTS.
Bad Bunny.
Exactly.
Well, it's a perfect example of how myopic the American entertainment system is.
Yeah, it shouldn't be called. It's like saying the World Series played entirely in the United States and part of Canada. Like it's
the U.S.,
It's the United Championship in baseball. But point is, they're getting a lot of hot water. They actually had to make a public apology and pull the card because of the backlash to it. Some people citing the attacks on the Atlanta Spas as this is.
Can I even get free audio for anybody else? Is that just me?
What's the problem?
Do I sound weird?
Like audio there, like.
I think it was just you. Anyway. The argument is that it's more anti-Asian American or anti-Asian stuff, you know, going along with the Atlanta shootings in Georgia. But what I talked myself and Double H, we both kind of agree. I see the point that they're making. I think this one's reaching. I really think this is reaching. The obvious joke here is that the Grammys snubbed BTS. In fact, if you look at it the right way, the Garbage Pail Kids are pro BTS because they're making fun of the fact that they got screwed. I think it's just a lot of BTS fans are upset that they didn't win and they're looking for any excuse to, you know, anyone that's anything negative about BTS they're attacking, and they have such a huge fan group that I think they're using their power. I think this is just overblown. I think this is nuts. And I hate Garbage Pail Kids, so I would never defend Garbage Pail Kids. What a stupid, stupid thing.
Man, I'm with you. Like, I actually was really confused by the outrage on this one, too, because they were. But I was thinking that because I didn't look a whole lot into this. I was thinking that they won a Grammy and people were upset about it.
No, they got screwed.
Yeah, so, yeah, like Garbage Pail Kids are saying, like, yeah, this band clearly got fucked. And I guess people just didn't like that imagery of those guys getting hit. So
I get it. Like, I don't like it when people make fun of Taylor Swift. Just go back and watch last Friday's Horse Time. I get upset when people attack our favorite music artists. But like there's no outrage here. I think this is fabricated. This is false outrage. And again, I hate the Garbage Pail Kids. So
in fairness, it might not be completely false. Like, it may have been a lot of the Korean audience that has no idea what the fuck Garbage Pail Kids are, and they just saw their icons getting smashed with a trophy.
And it's bad timing. Like, you know, Tops or whoever creates these Garbage Pail Kids, they had no idea that there was going to be this shooting. They did not perpetrate this shooting. It's bad timing. If you're a wrestling fan, it's like when, you know, they had an angle planned where Muhammad Hassan was going to have the Undertaker basically carried out as a, you know, like by quote unquote terrorist that was part of his gimmick. And it happened same time as this London bombing. So they had to cancel the entire thing. They pulled the character completely because the timing just was bad. So
well, there was that movie like that was supposed to come out like right around time 9/11 happened.
Oh, yeah.
Like a major freaking movie. Anyway,
terrorist attack.
Yeah, it was.
Because I think it finally came out like what, like 2017 or something like that, or 2018?
Yeah, right, straight to the bargain bin scenario. Well, when it should be, like, it wasn't meant to be, but because of the scenario, like, yeah,
they're like, well, we got it in the can, like we can put it out there. Like
there was also there was also an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer about Buffy gets this power where she can hear the thoughts of other students, and she hears one talking about how he's going to shoot the school, and that happened right around the school shooting, so they had to put that episode on the shelf because, again, timing. It's just bad. But the problem with this is, and real quick, I just want to get this point out before I forget it. The problem with this is that this joke in particular, like I told Dalton, this joke only works right now because of the Grammys. If they shelf this joke, it's dead. Because they won't make sense 3 months from now. It won't have the same impact. So, like, they're in a bad spot. Go ahead.
And from my understanding, that's the entire point of, like, this. It's part of a line. Like, they do a whole line making fun of the Grammys. And, right. Yeah, that was one of the stickers.
Okay. Lindsay, you had a point there?
Oh, it's just another one of, like, you were saying the Buffy episode. There was the Teddy Bear Bomber episode of Cowboy Bebop got delayed. And it took, they think, two extra run-throughs of the series before it ever aired on U.S. television.
Yeah. I can't see your face, so I can't tell when you're about to talk. So
I know, it's fine.
Yeah, that's how we felt like for that period of time where you wouldn't let us see you.
Oh, me?
It's also fair to keep in mind the fact that it's not always just about, like, bad timing about similar circumstance things that are happening at bad timing, but also, like, well-intentioned and actually, like, very important stuff that gets backburnered. Like, kind of coming back to the 9/11 thing, I think that was what it was. It was some type of a terrorist event that during the same time in New York and Boston, whenever they were starting to out the Catholic Church and in its whole scenario, like, that all got backburnered because of 9/11, right around the turn of 2000, when they were outing all those priests and shit like that with the church. And it was the Boston Globe or one of the newspapers had to pretty much shelf the whole situation because of it. And then that, like, for 6 months or 8 months later, until they actually got the story out, how many victims continued?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, we're done talking about sad things. Okay. One more thing. No, this is really sad.
14 minutes left.
This isn't really sad. It's just real quick. You go back to how President Trump, former President Trump, talked to and about Russian President Vladimir Putin. Beautiful letters. He's like a brother. He gives great handies. I don't remember what Trump said exactly, but you get the point.
Pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate.
President Biden went the exact opposite, and during an interview with God damn it, that picture. Any picture of Vladimir Putin. During an interview on ABC News, there it is. That's the better one.
Ritz cracker.
They asked President Biden point blank, do you think that Vladimir Putin is a killer? And Biden nodded and said, mm-hmm, I do. Well,
think he's a killer, a terrorist, a piece of shit.
That has sent shockwaves all through Russia. Russia not very happy with the United States about
Republicans not very happy with him.
Because Vladimir Putin and Russia, again in 2020, it's now been proven that they also have interfered with our election to try to downgrade Biden's chances of winning the election. They failed, thank God.
Wasn't just that. There's literal proof that him and the Trump campaign worked together.
Co-conspired.
Yeah, and they worked together in the 2016 election.
Yep, both times.
Yep.
And it will happen again because there's no accountability. It will happen again.
Well, hopefully not, because they are taking measures now that, you know, Biden is in office to try to prevent this. In fact, they have new legislation, which I forget the exact name of it, but it looks to completely do away with gerrymandering. It's getting away with all of these things that are limiting the black vote. Basically, anything that could help Republicans cheat to win, the Democrats are trying to push out, and they're trying to make elections safer.
It will have 49 no votes.
It just passed the House.
Yep. Just like the Violence Against Women Act and all the other, and the Let's Respect Our Capitol Police. Like, no, because
it won't go to vote on the Senate floor.
It did pass the House.
Yeah. It won't go to vote in the Senate.
With not a single Republican vote.
Nope.
And Chuck Schumer basically said, We're going to present it on the Senate floor, and if our Republican allies want to help us, cool. If not, all cards are on the fuck table. Them. It cannot fail. Yeah. So they're pretty much saying
they need to get rid of the filibuster too, just to further fuck them.
We're going to pass this whether or not you agree with it or not, is what they basically said. And isn't it funny, Republicans, not a single one voted for the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, and not a single one have voted for the this election stuff. So
they were okay with the $1.9 trillion tax relief. It's I'm going to say this, and I don't give a fuck on public Republican Party's terrorist party.
They were not okay with a lot of that $1.9 trillion. They had to make a bunch of amendments, had to go back to the House, then come back to Senate.
Yeah, but Trump wanted it, so they passed it.
Well, they were going to filibuster it.
Ah, the filibuster.
Yeah,
the filibuster.
You stand up and say, I filibuster, and then you sit down and it all falls apart.
Yep, because like that's my problem with the filibuster. I would be fine with the filibuster if it existed Leslie Knope style.
Yep.
Where they actually
get on your roller skates and fucking talk.
But no, like you could just say like, we're going to filibuster this one. And then it just goes away and that's it. It's filibustered. Fuck that. Yep.
Okay. That's it.
And that's what they're pushing for. They're trying to get back to the old, you know, 24 hour talk. What no. Shannon, you seem stressed.
No, Kaz. No, no more.
You don't want me to.
No, we have don't to make get, me. We have to get to the fun stuff because we'll go over.
Already gone over it.
No, we'll go over. It doesn't matter. We own the network. It's fine. YouTube or Facebook ain't gonna do shit to me. You gonna ban me again, Facebook? Fuck you, Facebook. Fuck you. Fucking cowards. It took 24 hours.
Are we still up?
It took 24 hours for Instagram, who's owned by Facebook, to remove the posts about Bianca Devin's dead body. It took them 24 hours to remove that shit. What the fuck are they doing? You can ban me in 3 seconds for making a joke to one of my best friends.
Trash.
What?
Shannon called somebody trash and he's banned in the next hour.
Yep. Almost immediately.
We're probably not even live now.
I make a joke to Ethan. I make a joke to Ethan about I will kill you as a joke and I get banned immediately, but you can't take down pictures of a dead 17-year-old murder victim in 24 hours. Fuck you.
That's the Zuckerberg business, man.
All right, it's fun time now, everybody. Let's get to the yuck yucks. Lindsay, what's our top five for tonight?
I don't feel fun anymore.
No, let's make it fun. It's fine. I'm sorry. I told you it was going to be a heavy night. I'm pissed off. But you can make it better. Tell us the fun thing. Because I'm very excited about my choices, and I want to talk about
them. Well, you're excited. My choices all suck. But
what?
I mean... Well, no, this went off of your guys' discussion from earlier in the week, as far as that goes, because I didn't feel like thinking today. So tonight is our top five physical music albums that we have purchased. And back when I purchased actual albums, they're all just really lame things that I bought, but I was happy to get.
Talk about CDs and cassettes?
Yes.
Oh. What? Well, Jesse, what was your question?
We're only allowed to talk about vinyl?
No, no. She said physical. You can't do digital. So you can't do like, I bought this album through iTunes. Yeah, physical media. Physical media. Yeah.
Because it sounded like she was saying like back when I actually bought that, like it was, you know, decades ago and she bought vinyl. Mm-hmm. I was like,
No, I was a little kid when I had vinyl. Lindsay, but still,
you have a question.
I've never been a big music person in general.
The chat asks where is Lindsay? Did she finally become one with Cortana? Yes.
Yes.
Lindsay has become a digital being.
Lindsay is having problems with her camera, hence why she is also highly irritated tonight. So yeah.
Cyril Viegas, damn! I still buy CDs. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I've been seeing Cas.
He only bought it because his name's Casper. Come on, don't give him that much credit. Satan. What is that?
Santana. Wait.
It's Santana, but it does look like Satan.
Gotcha.
It does look like Satan.
All right, so we're talking about our five favorite physical music purchases, right?
Yes. So I guess in the other range, you can be like the ones you listen to the most, because like, that would hence be like favorites, I guess. It was either that or else like you're the most excited about purchasing. I don't know.
Well, they go together for me because I'm most excited about the ones that were good. I've never bought a physical album that wasn't good because I am meticulous about researching and listening to the music beforehand. Kaz, Kaz, stop it.
Back in my high school days, like when I would go to PMAC, or even like in college too.
CD Warehouse.
I would go to PMAC here in Cape Girardeau. It doesn't exist anymore, but I would go to PMAC and I would just buy, like, because they were always doing something like buy two, get two free and that kind of shit. And I would go to PMAC for one CD and walk out with nine. And like a lot of them, like I would end up buying a CD. A lot of times I would get a CD because like I heard one song of theirs on Rage that I kind of liked. And I grabbed that CD and then I listened to the rest of it, like, Tantric is the one I think of.
Yeah, I remember Tantric. Yeah.
The rest of these songs weren't on there.
Yeah, I bought a Tantric CD because I liked one song a whole lot, and then the rest of the CD was straight trash.
Kaz, Zach wants to know, does it have the paper?
What?
I don't know. He says, does it have the paper, Kaz?
Oh, I think he's talking about this one.
Yeah, I assumed.
Yeah, I figured.
And Jesse, Zach wants to know if you still have the key and how much. No, I'm kidding. That's not on there. Let's rest in peace, Rage 103.7.
Rest in peace, CD Warehouse.
Rest in peace, Real Rock 99.3. Because since Hunter left, who gives a fuck? Am I right, guys? All right.
So Dalton had the key, not Jesse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I just assumed. I forget Dalton exists. Not his fault. It's God's fault. All right, let's go.
I have a copy of that key.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
How the hell not?
So one of the albums I was most excited about to purchase in all of my life was a little album called Love Angel Music Baby. Huh? Anybody?
What?
It was Gwen Stefani's debut solo album. And I was a big fan of No Doubt. Okay. So the moment I heard her single, which I'd forgotten, What You Waiting For? I was sold on that album and I bought like the deluxe version. Yeah. Of Love Angel Music Baby, Lamb. I love that CD. That is such a good album. I've not purchased a lot of albums like physically in my life, but I really love that one. So Love Angel Music Baby is my first pick. Now let's swing it over to my right, to Shelby.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually have very many physical copies of things because
I could think of one vinyl album that you got recently that's not on that list.
I didn't buy it,
though. I guess that's fair.
I didn't make that purchase. You did, and it was amazing. Thank you. But yeah, I can't take credit for that one.
I guess that's fair.
So the first thing I ever had as a hard copy that I actually really, really liked that I bought myself was a Bobby McFerrin cassette tape with Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Nice.
Played that song. So much.
Was it actually his album or was it just like a compilation album with it on there or what?
It was actually his like cassette. It had his face and everything on it. I don't remember anything else really from it, but I just remember playing it until it didn't play anymore.
This is also a fun game of can Kaz find the covers before we move on to the next person and get them posted. So I think he's given up on this one for the looks of it. Let's go over to Jesse Kimble.
I gave up on that one.
Yeah, Jesse Kimble.
All right, I'm gonna do mine chronologically because I bought a shitload of albums and okay. I like it a lot. So this is the first cassette that I ever bought with my own money way back in the 90s. It was Weird Al Yankovic's Bad Hair Day.
Which
I know that album cover without him even pulling it up.
It's Al Yankovic looking like LL Cool J.
Yep.
That's a fantastic. Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
Yep.
I love that tape. I wore that cassette straight the fuck out and had to buy another one.
Was that the one that had Amish Paradise on it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so he doesn't look like LL Cool J. He's Coolio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Oh, a little bit. Let's go down to Kaz because we don't have a lot of time.
I would say one of my favorites was the Rage Against the Machine Battle of Los Angeles.
That's a good one.
Which one was that? Which one? I don't know their albums as much as their songs.
Like
what's the hit from it?
Wasn't that the album with
Guerrilla Radio, Calm Like a Bomb? I'm trying to think of the, I mean, Battle Lost, yeah. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I can't remember.
I'm not trying to exactly put you on the spot.
I'm trying to remember which one you would remember.
I guess what I'm asking was Bulls on Parade or Killing in the Name.
Bulls on Parade on it.
Wait, no, Ciro just said the same thing. He said I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't want to say something wrong, but he's wrong, so that does not have Bulls on Parade on it.
No, that was the one with the was that the one with the Buddhist? No.
No, that was Killing in the Name of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is
okay, Ciro's got you. Guerrilla Radio, Turtify.
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 Testify.
All right.
Sleep now in the fire.
Sleep now in the fire. That's the one I was trying to think of. Yes.
All right, Lindsay, hit us with your schlock.
Okay. Well, I'll follow Jesse's lead at the moment and go with the very first album I bought with my own money. And mind you, this is like elementary school, Lindsay. Grandma just got me my first like cassette Walkman and a gift card to Camelot Music to pick out a tape for it.
Sorry, did you not?
This is a lot of justification for what's coming.
I know. Mom listened to Gloria Estefan a ton, so I knew a whole bunch of her songs. So my first album I ever purchased was Miami Sound Machine's Primitive Love because I liked the song Bad Boys on it.
Primitive.
All right.
Actually, I think I remember seeing this album cover somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm still thinking about the song Turtify by Rage Against the Machine.
And this album was put out in 1985, but I bought it in like early 90s. So.
1985 was a good year. Let me tell you what. There's a Bowling for Soup song about it. All right.
Yeah, I know.
It's true. It's unfortunate there's no Godzilla movie in that era.
Well, they didn't make one, Jesse. It just doesn't exist. All right, my next pick, I'm gonna go with this was a classic for me, the Beverly Hills Cop 3 soundtrack.
Ooh.
Oh my god, you talk about a classic. You got Eazy-E on there, you got Shy, you got the Supremes, NXS. I mean, oh my god, I wore that soundtrack out. And of course, you've got the best song on the whole goddamn album, Tony, Terrence Trent D'Arby. Not the best song, though. The best song, of course, is Axel F, which you remember goes a little something like do 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 do.
That classic, like anybody that knows what Beverly Hills Cop is knows that tune.
That seriously, that album was amazing. Inner Circles on it. Like, I listened to that album so much. Like, I still listen to it. They put it on Spotify recently, not all of it, but most of it, and it's just really, really good. I love that album so much. All right, Shelby Chan. Steve Thompson, part three was super underrated. It had the okie dokie shuffle. Part three was amazing. It had the part where he has the giant gun, and when he's trying to use it, it plays the Eazy-E music. Come on, man, that's a fucking great movie. Anyway, I'm sorry, Shelby, go ahead.
You're good. This was the first CD I had ever purchased, and it was Aaron Carter's Candy album.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I had the exact same reaction when I saw she had it written there.
All the from when I was younger, none of it looks really like me. And you start getting to the end of my list, and you're like, okay, there you are. All right,
that's look at that motherfucker. I'm sorry.
He wants candy.
Oh, that's glorious.
Oh my god.
That's exactly the CD.
Glorious piece of the late 90s right there.
For once, I'm on Michaela's side. She said, who is Aaron Carter? Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Talk about a one-hit fucking wonder.
Right, yeah.
Oh. The dude only got a chance because of his brother.
All right.
Oh my god.
Jesse. Jesse, your turn. Right.
My next one in the chronological order here.
Good luck following that one.
System of a Down's Mesmerize album. I bought this CD. I played it in my car so much that my little brother now hates System of a Down.
Was this the album that had BYOT on it?
BYOB, yes.
No, BYOT. Bring your own Turtify.
God damn it.
Damn it. He got me. Yeah, it had that one.
Okay, very good. I love that album too. That's good. You remember when me, you, and
go ahead.
I was saying, when me, you, and Lonnie and Krista was over at Lonnie's and we were playing Rock Band and you did Aerials. I don't know. I don't know if it's that's the same album, but like just Jesse singing System of a Down. Thumbs up. All right.
I do a halfway decent surge.
Okay, Cass, please.
Do something? Okay, fair enough. So I will go with the Foo Fighters' Color and the Shape.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great album.
Michaela, Michaela, stop. She said there's only one good System of a Down song.
So help me Christ if she says Lonely Day. Don't get me wrong, I like that song a lot, but still.
Anyway, Kaz, the Fur Fighters.
Yes. Monkey Ranch was a big pull.
It's a good one.
No, that whole album was fire. Like, that was really good.
Yeah.
I always said, Hunter and I have an agreement, and he did it. I think he did it on his show when he did his last show. And I said that on my last show of Podzilla, like the official last show, either when we shut the network down or when I legitimately leave and I never come back, the very last song that plays on my last show is Foo Fighters. Lindsay, which one is it?
Everlong.
Everlong.
He's already done it once.
Nope. Didn't count. It was the acoustic version.
You got me on the technically correct, the best kind.
By the way, Jesse, Michaela said it's the one where he says when angels deserve to die.
Oh, go away. Chop Suey.
That's Chop Suey. That's a whole different thing. Song
too, but
okay, Lindsay.
My next one is probably one of the cheapest albums I have ever bought because I bought it at a yard sale.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah, no. Matchbox 20 yourself for someone like you.
Yeah.
Crap out of this album.
It's a Rob Thomas.
Uh-huh.
That's some good Rob Thomas.
No,
there.
Ciro, the song about banging isn't not. Shut up, Ciro.
No.
Shut up, Ciro. That's a good album, Lindsay. It's a good album.
That's a hell of a good album.
And I only paid $1 for it.
Yeah.
The crafty consumer wins again.
3 a.m. Girl Like That, Real World, like
Push.
Push.
That's a fucking good album.
I think Push is my favorite Matchbox 20 song, honestly.
That's a really good one, yes.
So good.
Yeah. My next pick is Volbeat, Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies.
I like that album too.
Love that album so very, very much. You talk about a album that is fire. You got the Hangman's Count. You got Doc Holliday, Pearl Heart. I mean, that whole album is amazing. And it's all centered around Western legends. That's what I love about it. It has a theme. Every song is about like a different Western personality. I'm a big Volbeat fan in general, but this album itself was really, really good. I love this album. If you've never heard it,
nice.
Go get it. Also, Steve, I don't think anyone's going to pick Nickelback or Creed.
Quit playing. Get out of here. You leave the chat board now.
I just don't. No, I think he's afraid it's going to happen. So.
Okay. No, I respect that.
If we had done this like a decade ago, Shannon would have picked Nickelback for one of his.
Hey, I love Nickelback. There's no shame
this
in my
is
game.
How Shannon reminds me. I've sold a lot of platinum records. Who is the winner now?
He was also married to Avril Lavigne, so thumbs up. All right.
Chad's got shit going for him.
Shubba Chan.
Can't argue with that.
Michaela, I swear to Christ, if you say one more band only has one good song, I'm not going to do anything. But
She just dropped some Chumbawamba in there? What's going on?
No, she said Nickelback only has one good song that I actually like, and it's Never Going to Be Alone. And I have so many mean jokes I want to make, but because I love Michaela so much.
I did too, but
I'm not going to say it. Shelby, please change the subject.
So into music that I actually still listen to, The Offspring, it was actually the greatest hits album. And I kind of liked every fucking song on there.
Well, yeah, it's a greatest hits album.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
They had a lot of quality hits.
Right. I mean, really like, I think every Offspring song. I just really like the Offspring.
Offspring's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some good kids.
Jesse Kuhn.
All right, my next one. Coheed and Cambria, Good Apollo on Burning Star 4. Love this CD. This was the CD that got me into Coheed.
Jesse, say the full name.
I did. Good Apollo on Burning Star 4.
Isn't there more to it?
No, he said it. Yeah. Oh.
There is like an extra like chunk of it that's not on the album cover.
Isn't it Fear Through the Eyes of Madness?
No, it's on this album cover. Look at it.
What is it?
Small. It's really tiny though. Volume 1 from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness.
Okay, I thought so.
Volume 1, because there's also Volume 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the album that got me into Coheed. It started with Rock Band because Welcome Home was a fucking phenomenal song. So then I started checking out, like, I bought that album, and I was like, holy shit, this whole album is great. And yeah, that's history at this point.
Oh, so good. I still remember buying my first Coheed album. I've bought all the Coheed albums physically. And
I have several of them in vinyl.
You do? I'm very jealous. You even have the Jesse's Girl Part 2 in vinyl.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's better than Stacy's Mom.
He's got it. He's going to bust it out while he's doing that. Yeah, Kaz, go ahead he's doing that.
Wait, how many do we have left? I want to choose wisely here.
Two.
Three.
We got three left? Oh, bang on. Okay.
This is your third.
This is my third. All right. I'm going to drop. I'm trying to think of which one I want. Here, I'm just going to drop this one. Booyah.
Oh, snap. He done hit me with the Art of War.
Oh, you know it.
That's good. That's real good.
That's a fucking good album. Oh my god!
Double disc, and it was amazing.
What's that affliction where you like when somebody says a word, you like taste something or hear something like aphasia or
ambrosia? No, I don't know.
No.
Anyway, this is one of those albums. Like, I just the thought of it like reminds me of so much. Just like sounds and sights and smells. It's just such a fucking good album.
Real quick trivia before Shelby Chan hits us with that cover. One of the big single off the album, as you remember, was "If I Could Teach the World," and that video, if you remember that video, was a very cool video. It starts with the Tupac Thug Love song and then goes into the song, and it's about the apocalypse and heaven and stuff like that. That video was directed by Joseph Kahn, who went on to later direct all of Taylor Swift's big videos like Bad Blood and Blank Space.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
So very, very cool. I thought that was neat.
That is true. That's a great bit of trivia.
Yes. Thank you
for dropping that. Thank you. This is classic, legendary type of music right here. Yeah. This is inspiration shit.
100% agreed. Shelby, hit us with that cover.
Okay, so this is my number one, but I don't get to pick it because Jesse got it for me. It is 10 Years, Violent Allies, and it's signed.
That's not what you were supposed to show. You were supposed to show Jesse's.
No, I'm showing mine.
She just skipped the line. She skipped the line.
I didn't. That's not even one of my choices because I can't.
Because she didn't buy it. It was a gift.
Jesse, I think.
There's so many blankets.
Sorry.
I can't get back.
You can never have too many blankets.
I think Jesse wants to show us all of his Coheed albums real quick.
It's just all 12.
And Lindsay, while he's doing that, you go ahead and tell us about your next picks. That way the people listening to this on Podzilla1985.com aren't just hearing silence and then,
Okay. Next one is The Wallflowers Bringing Down the Horse, which I bought specifically for one headlight, but then the fifth track on it, The Difference, ended up actually being my favorite song off of it. Also, Sixth Avenue Heartache was really good, and so is The Bleeders. But once you get album. Past Josephine, I really don't care about the last three songs on it. So.
Jesse. Lindsay, I'm sorry. Can you say the name of that album one more time, please?
The Wallflowers Bringing Down the Horse.
It's horse time.
Woohoo! Hold up. Bringing it in. Booyah.
Zooming in. Oh, okay. That works too.
It's horse time, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
That was a good album, though. Goddamn. I see you, Jesse.
And then this one is super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. That's fun.
That's what is his name? Not Denton, not Mayo
It's not Captain Wolf. It's
what the fuck was his name? He's the main bad guy.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Wilhelm Ryan.
Yeah.
Nice.
They
do good work.
Oh yeah, Shannon, you'll especially love this one.
I do. That's some twisted shit right there. And you know what? Since Jesse picked Coheed and Cambria, I was gonna put Vaxxis on mine, but I'm gonna leave it off since Jesse picked that one. I was gonna leave it on there. So hey, Jonathan Graham's back. Jonathan, you're just in time for my next pick, which is Taylor Swift's Reputation. Not her best album.
In the last one.
Jesse's girl too. Love that artwork, by the way. Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, the artwork is so cool.
Reputation, my next pick. It has a couple. I really like this album. I love the music on it. In fact, I was using Are You Ready For It as my theme music in wrestling when I first became a manager. But I was super hyped for this album when it came out. And then they dropped the Look What You Made Me Do. I loved it. I know a lot of people didn't love it. I thought it was really good. I think that album is badass. So Taylor Swift's Reputation. Hi, Jane. Bye, Jane. Let's move on.
Bye, Jane.
Shelby, you got another one? Or are we going back to Jesse?
No, I got one.
Okay.
One of my favorite, top two favorite actual hard copies of anything I bought, because after this it all went digital, was Iowa, the Slipknot album from 2001.
I like Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. This one had a Disaster Piece, Skin Ticket, The Heretic Anthem, Everything Ends. Some pretty good ones on it.
Jesse, you might also remember that in Suicide Squad, Slipknot was a man who could climb anything.
That's what I hear. He could climb anything.
Any and all things.
Any and all things.
Speaking of Jesse, let's go to Jesse.
Hey! All right, my next one is going to be Linkin Park, 1,000 Suns.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
I remember that one.
CD. That was great.
Is this the one I'm thinking it is?
Yes. The one that everybody else hated.
Except us?
Yeah. It was like me, you, I think Trevor, and another friend of mine named Carrie were the only four people I know that actually liked that album.
I love that album.
I love that album.
Wretches and Kings, Robot Boy, Waiting for the End, Iridescent, I think, was on there, wasn't it?
Mm.
That was a fantastic album. Yeah, that album was CD. Love that album so very much. Kazman.
All right, I'm just going to drop this in and see if anybody recognizes.
Deftones.
White Pony. Yes, White sir. Pony.
Change in the House of Flies. I like that
damn
song.
Good album here.
There's a mix you should listen to. They mixed that song with Britney Spears' Toxic. And it is incredible. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, that's a good album. Kaz is dropping something. What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. Oh, uh-oh. Sorry. We're getting dominoes.
Oh. Oh, I'd like to eat as well. Okay, Lindsay, then we got one more. Come on.
Okay, my next one is the last ever cassette tape I purchased. After that, it was all CDs. It is Disney's Hercules soundtrack. We saw the movie, and as soon as we left the theater, I went and bought the soundtrack.
Our choices are so whimsical.
Yeah, Lindsay's a treat.
You're talking to the person that like 90% of the music I purchased are soundtracks.
And in fairness, the Hercules soundtrack was incredible.
So good!
Wait, hold on.
Like, I don't care whether it's words or instrumental, the entire soundtrack is amazing.
Isn't that just a buffer Aaron Carter on the cover?
No.
He has red hair. There's no frosted tips.
Close. That's not even close.
Sorry, of course. Hercules is one of the few Disney films I don't know if I've ever seen.
I don't know how you wouldn't have been able to. It's like my go-to throw-on in the background movie.
I don't know.
It holds up. Just watch it. It's real good.
It's so good.
Well, it was just hard to compare. It was hard to compare Hercules when you've got when you had you grew up with Kevin Sorbo as Hercules, but then it turned out he turned out to be
Michael Bolton.
He
turned out to be a
fucking he turned out to be a piece of shit. Yeah, so
he's a piece of shit. Fuck Kevin Sorbo.
Yep.
Xena could kick his fucking ass, and Kes, I would pay to watch that happen.
Kes, can we get a hashtag for fuck Kevin Sorbo, please?
I'm down on that.
Also, Steve Thompson in the chat said, "Dude, Small Soldiers is an awesome soundtrack." Yes, it is. That had the Bone Thugs in Harmony with Henry Rollins and Tom Morello from Audioslave and that other band. I can't remember the big one.
That other one.
I did not realize. Was Tom Morello really an Audioslave?
Yeah, it was Tom Morello and Chris Cornell.
Yes, sir. That was a. It was one of those master bands, like Masters of
Supergroup, like
Methods of Mayhem and
Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver. Yeah. And, yeah.
Anyway,
it's also good.
Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ciro. Just talked about him. Nothing. It's fine. Who is Kevin Sorbo?
You remember what Tom Morello originally was from?
It's Kaz. Stop. I'm going to give him my next pick.
Oh yeah, Johnny Atwood in here. Now he's got the Creed, the Titan After Earth soundtrack.
Do we kick people out?
Phenomenal
yes.
movie.
My last pick. Titan A.E.
I have that soundtrack somewhere. I still have that movie on VHS somewhere.
Oh, never mind. No, it was
Titan A.E. By Jonathan Graham.
The Google song on it?
No, they had Lit was the main band that did their stuff.
Or am I thinking of Treasure Planet that had the...
I've never watched Treasure Planet.
I always get those two movies confused, I'm going to be honest with you. I really do.
I've never watched it.
Get this ready. Last pick for me is none other, of course, last year's banger album for me and my favorite album of the year, Poppy, I Disagree, which is, for me,
I think I've actually got that.
You got that what?
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to say, I think I had that image already ready.
Ah, yeah. Poppy, I Disagree. One of my top five favorite albums of all time. I could not stop listening to this. The only bad part about me buying this CD is that I then lost this CD, and now I have to buy another one. I still have it digitally, though, at least, so I can always listen to it. But you talk about an amazing album. Top to bottom, there isn't a single song on that album that isn't amazing. If you've never listened to it before, Poppy, don't sleep on Poppy. Go check out I Disagree, especially the deluxe edition. It has four new songs, all of which are really, really good, too. So, yeah, Poppy, I Disagree, my favorite. Shelby.
My last one is another Slipknot one, Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses. Because it had Duality and Vermillion's Part 1 and 2. And
I remember that one. Yeah.
And I think that was the actual last physical music that I bought. Everything was digital after that.
Yeah, I don't buy music in general at this point. Although I will buy it if it's a band I truly love, like Poppy. Yeah. Oh, that guy's got a spike head.
That's the mask. Have you never seen that before?
Oh, I have. I honestly didn't realize there were so many people in the band. That's a class photo.
Like four of them are drummers.
They have two. They have like literally two drummers.
Jordison will always be the best.
And I think they have like what, three bass players and four like guitar players. It's ridiculous.
Nice. It's like a bunch of friends. It's like we're just. It's like playing Call of Duty. So we can't do zombies. Everybody's here.
So I guess we got to make an album.
And they changed their too, so you know, it's not always zombies, it's clowns occasionally.
Clowns,
the Slipknot Justin Bieber mashup.
No,
I'm gonna have to do that. Everybody should look up Psychosocial on YouTube, it's great.
I think I did hear one of their songs when they were the clowns. Kaz, what did they sound like when they sang as the clowns?
Hey, did that come through that time?
Yes,
yes.
Oh, that's good. I gotta do it again.
All right, Jesse, last pick.
Yeah, this is probably like the last physical album that I bought again, you know, before everything went digital, except for I still buy Coheed vinyl, obviously. Was obviously. Mumford & Sons' Sigh No More. I just like that whole album.
And
that
then one
fucking
of
the, is great.
Yo, and then great. One of their guys got booted out for being a piece of shit, too. Thank God.
Yeah, the banjo player is apparently a real piece of shit.
Oh, they're all banjo players. Come on.
That's not true. There was only one banjo player.
Oh, they all are.
They all are. All right, Kaz, last pick.
All right, I'm going to go with... Anybody recognize that?
that the Tool album cover?
Tool, 10,000 Days.
Yeah, I like that CD too. It honestly, like, it, because like the actual album has like glass eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, it took me a second.
Oh, it's so like, yeah, it's a hard one to like. The album itself is a piece of art.
Yeah. And that was such a good fucking CD. Like, I still.
Oh, just, yeah.
They finally added them to Spotify and it made me really happy.
About the most mathematical thing you'll ever listen to.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, Lindsay, last one.
All right. I debated on my last one, but I am going to go with also one of the last CDs that I bought. I know it's not the last one, but it's definitely up there. The Muppets, The Green Album. It's a collection of songs from The Muppet Show and the first couple of Muppet movies, but all done by like popular artists.
Oh, nice.
It's like, really good.
Like Moving Right Along is by Alkaline Trio.
Bad Kermit right there.
That's a bad Kermit right there. Of what's the Swamp song that everyone loves?
Rainbow Connection.
Rainbow Connection was... fuck, I just had it in my head.
Yeah, no, I'm blanking too. That's why I feel bad because like the song is in my head, but I can't get who.
I can't think. Oh, well, the girl was the girl from Paramore, Hayley Williams, and the guy was what is the guys that sing? Fuck me. I'm looking.
Is that the song? Or is that the
Weezer.
Name?
Or
is that
Weezer. The chorus? It's Weezer. Weezer. Weezer and Hayley Williams.
Weezer never released no song called Fuck Me, Fuck Me.
No, they did. They did. It was Fuck Me, Fuck Me. No, it was an original. Like, it's one of their underground tapes.
Like Amy Lee does a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's a good album. God. I like it.
What's happening on here? Who said they're jelly? What's going on?
Don't worry about it.
Things are happening. You don't need to worry about it.
This is Jesse, by the way.
Tool tore that album, and yeah, I was really jealous because that would have been a cool concert to see. I always heard that they did a show live in Cape, and I think I was out of town the day they were going to be there for some
a fucking long ass time ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Well, Jesse,
I think I was still living in Illinois when that happened.
Jesse, I like Tool, but I prefer Pucifer. Or Perfect Circle.
You get Perfect Circle is really good.
Do you get the reference though? Do you get the joke?
No.
It's the same lead singer. He does all three bands.
Oh.
Yeah. Kaz, please stop.
I mean, I knew that he did Perfect Circle. I just didn't know I had never heard of Pucifer.
It's Pucifer.
Oh.
I never know how to pronounce it. Do you like Pucifer, Shelby?
Yeah.
You a little trivia, because I like my trivia. Pucifer.
I am bad at trivia. You can tell me anything.
They started on we've talked about Mr. Show with Bob and David, the 90s HBO sketch show. They were such a big, Tool was such big fans of that show that they created a fake band for one of the segments called Pucifer that they then turned into a real band down the line. So.
Oh, neat. That's funny. I didn't know that.
I just like useless trivia. Okay. Now that that's out of the way.
They'll never come back.
Who, Weezer?
No.
Weezer's never coming back to Cape.
No.
God, no.
I was
going
to say, I enjoyed their Tool album.
No band should come to Cape. Yeah.
Why should any?
Stay away from this fucking shitberg. Anyway, that's going to do it, Cape. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow with an all-new Horse Time. And by the way, if you're a fan of the X-Files, make sure you check out tomorrow's episode of Horse Time, because we're going to dedicate most of the show to the X-Files. We're counting down our top 10 favorite episodes. Kaz, do you have the animated horse here? Maybe he could tell us a little bit about it.
I might. Well, you know, things are happening. Speaking, I'm going to look over here, look over there, wave my hand, point at things. You know, what can you do?
God damn it, you have too much fun with this. All right, guys, that's tomorrow on Horse Time. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight here. For myself, for Shelby Chan, for Jesse Kimble, for Kazman, and for the voice formerly known as Lindsay Wolfgang, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks to everyone that's in the chat room that spent the night with us and told us some cool stuff. We love you guys very, very much. We'll see you tomorrow for Horse Time, guys. Later.